I knew exactly where things would end up. I was confident. I had it figured out. When you prayed, it came to pass. The love of God was straightforward. The Bible made sense at some point, and I could articulate it with non-trembling lips. There used to be a time that life was straightforward for me. But I've grown a little older, and I've learned that the eye that is dim is better than the eyes that open. I've learned that the times of weakness are the strongest times in faith in Christ, that the arm of God is the only rock we can hold on to. It used to be normal that children would go to school and graduate. Of course, we're Christians. They should go to school and graduate. The children of Christians should end up being Christians. If we did right, 1 + 1 must always equal 2 when we were younger. The formulas, we had them down packed. Everything worked. Of course they will be fine. We are people of faith. I've since learned. And maybe I should have learned earlier, because it's replete in the Word of God. Because if only I had been wiser, I would have seen it clearly from Genesis up until then. But it takes experience to teach you. And I thank God for these lessons. So these moments are precious moments. Planes don't always land when they take off. Children don't always graduate when they start school. Marriages are not always happily ever after, or majority of the time they are not. So these moments are reflective moments filled with praise and thanksgiving. And I just want to congratulate every parent here that the Lord has favored you. I bless the Lord for it. May He continue to give each and every one of you moments of joy, because life in of itself is full of its own sorrows. And we know it. Sister Folake and I were talking on Wednesday, and she said, was it at least 2 people in recent times every day they've had to bury in the hospital that she's worked in? We heard about someone getting shot, hate crime yesterday or thereabout in, is it South Carolina? So these things are the favor of God unto us. Every child there is God saying to us, I love you. I love you. I love you. And like Tommy would say, I got this. I got this. We earn nothing. And blessed be the name. This is why we're able to sit down with joy and gather every day, because we serve a Father who's got it. May the Lord fill each one of us with joy and happiness. We say something about, it's going to be a brief sermon. I keep repeating it, not to you, to me, because I could go on and on. That we don't want to, what's the word we use? That the sickness of raising children these days is we don't want them to be entitlement. That we don't want children with entitlement syndrome. And I've seen it. When children feel entitled to the privileges you give to them, when children are annulled from the pains of the world because we have so totally shielded them, and we don't want it. At times we could be like that to God. At times we could feel entitled. At times, that's why we could roll off our beds and not say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Or we can go to the store and bring home milk and all kinds, all grades of eggs, grade A, grade this, grade that, all kinds of meats. And you feel annulled. We are now entitled. But the Lord will not want us to be entitled. There are always 2 sides on every face. And the brevity of our lives challenges us to always consider the two sides of a face. A wise Christian smiles with only half his face. A wise Christian sings with one half and prays with the other. A wise Christian rejoices and mourns at the same time. A wise Christian is always grateful. A wise Christian is not entitled. A wise Christian knows from whom all blessings flow. A wise Christian knows with the day of birth comes a day of death. A wise Christian knows every promotion on earth is only for a moment. It ends at the grave. So whether we mourn or we rejoice, there's one thing we have, one thing we always do. We are always filled with hope and gratitude to God. Because in good times and bad times, the Lord Jesus is with us. The same one that brings the rain also causes the sun to shine. The same God that takes us to the peak also sees us through the valley. If there's anybody here whose child is not doing well, the Lord taught me this, and he taught me this by example. He taught me to give my testimony joyfully, but also remember the day when there will be no testimony. Remember the day when all I had was a prayer point in this same church. Today, if there's anybody here whose child is not doing as well as they should be doing, rejoice in the Lord your God. The same God who causes us as a church to rejoice today, your day will come. We have witnessed it today. Brabumi, I keep saying, why are we like this in New Covenant Church? We don't make a big deal of anything. Do you know this year is our 20th year? Why are we like this? I can imagine if we were the regular fellowship. We'll have 20-year programs. We'll be inviting anybody that's ever preached on this pulpit to come and revisit their preaching. We'll have another banner that says 20 and going strong. You know? It's the 20th year, and in 20 years, it may look as though we've learned nothing, but there's one thing we have learned. We have learned that though we cry, we rejoice. We have learned that though it may tarry, all prayers come to pass in this church. We have learned that the Lord is with us. He's our comfort, our strong tower. He's our refuge, our ever-present help in the time. Just stay with it. Stay with the Lord Jesus. He started it. He's going to finish it. Your day will come. We will rejoice over every one of our children in this church in Jesus' name. Do you know why? Do you know why? Do you know why? Because we've learned from the beginning not to trust in ourselves. Because 7 o'clock 7:30 every Friday, these front row chairs are removed and they form an arc around where the impression of the altar of God is. Not all of us are able to make it, but all of us at some point or the other make it. The fire on the altar of New Covenant Church in 20 years has never grown dim. We're a praying church. So you can have hope. We will continue to rely on our rock, and it will come to pass. I want your heart encouraged, but I also want to warn you. The word of God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. It says, as far as the heaven is from the earth, so far are my thoughts from yours. As far as the east is from the west, so far are my ways from yours. If you are here in church and you are cold, even 20 years, your love has grown dim. If you have exchanged the strength of the Lord for experience in 20 years, if you are no longer as desperate as you used to be, if you have learned a few things in life and that has become your crutch in life, it's a dangerous place to be. The Lord said in the book of Revelation, says, if you are neither hot nor cold, I speak to myself as I speak to you, by the way. The Lord keeps saying to me to search my life. He said, if you are not hot, if you are not cold, if you used to kneel down, I'm not talking about those who, due to age, can no longer do it, you know, because kneeling down is not physical, it's in the heart. If you used to kneel down desperately in prayer, but now, that's no longer necessary. You've grown cold. I charge you to go back to Jesus. Be like a child in his hands. What we started with, the fruit of that we are reaping, the Bible says to the book, to the children of Israel, remember the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. Remember them. Remember the old highways and go back to them. I challenge you to seek to go back and be fervent in Christ. You see, the place we are going to is better than where we are coming from. The hope that lies ahead of us is more pleasant than the victories we currently have. There's yet a goal. There's yet a promise. There's yet a hope that lies ahead of us. Jesus is coming. One day, we are going to gather at the feet of Christ and rejoice. I want you to just remind all of us to keep our eyes on that goal. Nothing can separate us from this hope which does not put to shame. Don't let anything separate you. Continue to be a child in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue prayer. I challenge you, New Covenant Church, please come, let us pray together. Let us cleanse our hearts. See, if you used to be a confessing, or rather a repenting Christian, and in the last 4 months you found nothing to repent about, there's a problem. Continue to be a repenting Christian. The simplicity of the Word of God remains. Please come. It's still the same old things. Jesus still considers us to be his children. Come as children of the Lord. I want you to just put away everything that contends with faith. I know that it's a very old tool where we keep saying praying, we keep saying be faithful. Those things work. That exactly is the way and the path that Christ has shared for us. So please, let's continue faithfully in this. And may the Lord bless us as we do. Let's open our Bibles as we round up this morning to Ecclesiastes. Let's read from Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And as we read, I pray that the Holy Ghost will interpret this. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a servant to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will come on the earth. Are you familiar with this passage, brothers and sisters? Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Do you have a picture in your mind? I'd like to just put some context. The Bible is asking us to do the most insane thing here. Figuratively. And it's a most relevant thing. There are people sitting in this church who have been trying the same thing. Who have been trying the same thing that they know to be right, and it's not working for them. And because the Spirit of the Lord knows exactly that you are going to get tired, this wise preacher, Solomon, I guess, wrote this. In his wisdom, he sat on his throne and he was saying, I want to give good counsel to the people. What counsel do I want to give today? I've tried to use knife to divide their children and they've learned from that one. I've talked about birds. They've learned from birds. I've talked about the ants. They have learned. And I want to really give counsel. And remember, God gave him wisdom. And this was the wisdom that God gave him to you. Cast your bread upon the waters. I think old King James said, many are times it will come back to you. It means don't get tired of doing the right thing. I can imagine there's been somebody, this is figurative, right? That has been sowing a seed and casting his bread and casting Monday, Tuesday, 15 years old, 16, 17, 18, 19, 19. And someone is saying, the waters is a wasteland to cast your bread. There's a better place. See all your neighbors. See where how they are making money. There's a saying in our language that he that does not know how his mates do well, he will just continue to cast his bread for nothing. I don't know how to translate that. If I said it, you will understand it. And you're tired as a Christian. And the psalmist is saying, it doesn't seem to be, but cast that bread upon the waters, many a times it will come down. After many times, it will come back to you. Do not give up the way of faith. Do not give up the way of prayer. Do not give up being kind when you are being nasty too. Do not give up all of those things you know by the Spirit of God is right, but you are getting tired of it. We read from Psalm 73 the last time, I think a couple of weeks ago, that David also was tempted to be tired. He said, when I see how well those who are not even known, who do not even know God are doing, I get tired. I say to myself, behold, I've washed my hands in innocency for nothing. This Christian thing is not working. He said, until the Lord took me to his temple and he showed me the end of all things. Then I went, Lord, you have put them in a slippery place. All these people that I used to admire, they are in a slippery place. Cast your bread, Christians, be faithful. Christians, seek ye not repose. Hear your guardian angel say, and we don't feel like it. Because it's spiritual. You are in the midst of fools. Don't get tired. Watch and pray. Cast your bread. Don't stop being nice. I know it's not working. At work, I know it's not been working. They say, because I've been mixing with a lot of people that came from Nigeria this over the weekend. Seems like I've been mixing with them since December, actually. This is all I have around me. People in Nigeria from Nigeria, by Nigeria, and who seriously believe in Nigeria. Sister Jackie, excuse me. And I keep saying, they say, you can't be nice to your house helps. You can't be nice to your, they're going to take advantage of you. The world doesn't work that way anymore. And I keep thinking about, what does the Bible say? And when you quote, people will say to you, no, it doesn't work that way in Nigeria. Continue. It is the water is supposed to make bread soggy. It's a useless place to cast your bread when you look at the physical eyes. Don't submit that resume without a lie. You know, it doesn't work. You have to, what's the word they use? Embellish. And it's proven, they've proven right. Maybe you've submitted it, so you don't have enough. Oh, you're too experienced. You're overqualified, you're underqualified. You too. This is, and I was hearing a testimony this weekend as a pastor actually said, yeah, you know, heaven helps those who help themselves. I just tweak this. Cast your bread upon the waters. It's not. Brothers and sisters, you know when we're seated in church and you're hearing a sermon? Because we all have the same spirit. The reason we're here is because we all love Jesus. We draw comfort from one another's company. And we're assured in the word being spoken because the Spirit agrees. But when you walk out of here, many of the things we talk about here become impracticable. And then the devil comes. Many people rejoice in the course of praise and worship and sermon, and you get home and you're empty. It just doesn't appear to square with what you're going through in life anymore once you leave. This is why I want you to listen to me carefully. The word of God is true. You're not always going to feel the assurance you feel as you hear this word coming out. Once you step out, the battle begins again. But I want you to remember, these are not words spoken, written by us. You and I are not just agreeing that it's true. This is the age-old, ancient wisdom of the living God. This was a successful preacher telling you what works in the Spirit. You can go out of this place with the reassurance that God has spoken to you. So continue to be nice. That method that God says is right in your life, and it's in different facets of our lives, your relationship at work, your relationship at home, your aspirations in life, don't give up. Use the Christian method. Cast your bread upon the waters. Many times it will come back. Give a portion to seven. Let me read that. Give a serving to seven, a portion, Old King James said, and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will come on the earth. Brethren, remember the methods of the Lord. When you spread, you increase. What you hold on to, you cannot keep. In all of his majesty, the preacher here is telling us what still works is dispassion, service, generosity, faith, and hope. All the methods that the world currently is teaching us does not work. I don't have to talk too much about this. We know how hard it is. How hard it is to use the Christian method. How hard it is to give, to continue to give when you hardly have, when your bills are there. Do things with the future in mind. What we have, we can't keep. You don't know what evil will come upon the earth. When this whole program is wrapped up, what you want is to be one of those people that the Lamb will say, you have used my method, I know you. You have remembered me, and now I remember you. I just implore, and I feel there's a need. I feel there's a lot of tiredness, not in our church, I bet in our church as well, but in the church today. I see, look around me, and the Christian methods are no longer popular. Christians are falling off the cliff. All of those formulas that as a Christian we have been taught, diligence, love, not repaying evil for evil, being patient in tribulation, all of those, when you try to apply them in corporate America, the devil has persuaded several people that it doesn't work. Truthfulness in all things. But Christ is saying to us this morning, it does. Are you going to be one of the few who will remain? Jesus looked upon the earth as he was preaching, then he stopped. I don't know. The Bible does not say this, but I try to imagine, and it helps me to remember the passage. Because I always try to, but Tunde said last week that he looks at the context. Same thing. I like to look at Bible context, then I do drama in my head. You know, most of it when Jesus spoke, you just read, oh, the Lord regal white and he spoke. No. Me, I like to think of him clearing his throat, looking at the crowd, first testing, blessed, they did not hear at the back. Blessed, I try to bring some humanism to what the Lord said. And Christ, in preaching a sermon similar, said, remember the statement I made? I said, are you going to be one of the few? He said, Tolu, when I come back, will I meet faith or not? Why did Christ say this as we close? He had been teaching, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if 1 + 1 always equal 2, then the better the message, and this was message from the Lord, then the more faith should be on earth. And the king of faith, after preaching the best sermons in the world, looks up and says to a multitude, and there were plenty of people. So it was a successful ministry, at least by the way we count ministry these days, right? Once there's a crowd, successful. But Christ knew that there was probably nobody there as of the time. There was a multitude listening, but nobody there with faith. Not even his disciples believed him at that point. The Pharisees were struggling because they felt, oh, all the people were following him. And true, the crowd, they were following him. There was bread, there were miracles, all the things we needed. But God knew nobody was following him. when Jesus returns, will he find you? Tosi, I'm not going to give you that $20. I said when I get to, if I ever get your name wrong again, right? I'm sure you were praying that I'll get it wrong. Will you be using Jesus' formula? I'm not saying, are you going to be believing in Jesus? You will be. The seed of God in you will not die. But in your day-to-day life, are you going to be using Jesus' methods? If you were to ask the opinion regarding several topics in church this morning, you will see how far the methods we're inclined to use are from the methods prescribed by scriptures. And it's about time as Christians we go back to our Bible, not just saying, I believe in Jesus, but saying, Lord, how would you want me to do what I'm doing? Is what I'm doing now the way you want it done? There are whole, brethren, my heart bleeds this morning. My heart bleeds. If we were to deconstruct many things happening in many churches this morning, you see that it's far from the formula of Christ. And that's why we're in trouble as Christians. In your lives, at work, are you using God's formula in your marriage? We all know what the formula is. We all read our Bibles. We all hear it on radio. Are you using it? Cast your bread upon the waters. The Lord guarantees that after many days, it will come back to you. Put your seed in that soil. And surely the world guarantees, with all the agronomy, the agricultural science, that it will break forth and grow. And there will be harvest time. You will pluck it and you will eat. But you will be hungry again. But the bread that the word of God gives to you, you will eat it. When the harvest comes, it will never stop. It will give life to you. We are well fed. But are we disciples? It's in little things. I'm speaking to you not of lofty things like faith and miracles today. I'm trying to encourage your heart about hope and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are things that will happen. Those are prerogatives of God. The trumpet will sound not at our bidding, but his bidding. The faith that you have in your heart is not because of you. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that. All of those. But there's something that is in your hands. Obedience. In our Wednesday Bible study, we studied the chapter 1 of 2 Peter. And our admonition was this. It is very important, very, very important that we seek in prayer for every day that the Lord will grant to us the grace to do what he wants. It's not easy to use the method of Jesus. You are going to get to work tomorrow, and you better believe it, someone is going to really make you angry again. And we've been saying that, telling that story for decades. If promotion was coming out this week at work, I bet we'll pray about it. Why don't we pray about that as well? He said we've been given already all things that pertain to life and godliness according to his power that works in us. Let us pray for the power to use the uncommon methods. 90-something%, 99% of the church. That's why there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it is the very way to perdition. The way that leads to life is very narrow, and very few people find it. I challenge you, New Covenant Church, that we do not glory in the obvious. Let's glory in the soggy bread in those waters. Let's glory in the things of faith. Let's not stop believing in miracle. Let's not stop believing in it. Let us be relentless until we all caught the picture of sanctification. I actually challenge us as pastors and elders to aim higher for the people of God. You can soar. We can be saints. We can meet the full. You know, many pastors have given up. We just manage the people now. We've given up that people can actually be transformed in the image of Jesus Christ, despite the fact that the Word of God says it. And it's true. When you've been through so many, you've gone through different characters, right? All kinds, all manners of characters. So after a while, before you know it, you abandon the method, you give up on that lofty sanctification. Just say, Lord, just take them as they are. And before you know, you're a shepherd of goats and pigs. The word shepherd comes from shepherding sheep. I don't know. I think you call them goat farmers. Right? Goat herders. Yeah, they are herders. May the Lord not make us goat herders. In Jesus' name. You can be the excellent wife, brethren. Not because your husband is excellent. You can be the excellent husband. Not because your wife is excellent. But because the Spirit of the Lord lies in us. Use those same good methods. Not only that, I challenge us to encourage one another to use them. I hunger for the day in New Covenant when we're not asking, how is your job? All of those things are seeds on the ground. They will perish. How is your job? My parents are retired. Some of our parents have done since gone to be with the Lord. Those things will perish. We're not gathered in church so that our jobs will do well. We pray that our jobs will do well. I pray there will be a time in New Covenant Church that the process of walking in faith itself will be exciting to us. That we'll face every challenge with hope and the full assurance that yet there's a miracle coming. That we'll be resting on the power of God and encouraging one another. Brother Paul always said, he said the church is both an hospital, and a barrack. In which of these two is the most attention needed? Only healthy people can be in a barrack, brothers and sisters. New Covenant Church, let's be mindful of the weakest amongst us. We are only as strong as the weakest person in our church because the code of conduct in the church of God is love. Those who are doing well are doing well. Let our hearts be sensitive, particularly regarding those who hurt. Let our time and effort not be on celebrating things. Let our money go towards helping people. Let us organize visitations around that. Let's remember the sister who has no company. Those who have friends no longer do not need you. Father, we thank you and bless you, Lord, and give you all the praise and glory. In the abundance of your word, you will build us up as a church. These things are easy to say, and they are easy to do in you. Lord, we have done one part. You say to us to speak only as an oracle of God. Father, we have done that, looking at your word. Your word says, who is sufficient unto these things? Our sufficiency is of the Lord who has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Lord, it's in your hands now. We can know it, only you. Actually, Lord, you have been doing it. We only pray that you will do it more, Lord. Perfect us. Transform us. Father, excite us. We don't want to be a cruising church. We don't want to cruise. We want to be a happening church. We want the Spirit to happen in this temple, and you are more than able to do it. Father, we pray, Lord, that hearts will be excited to come here. We pray, Father, that everybody that comes will not remain. I pray, Father, that every sorrow in heart will be comforted by Christ. I pray that you will find our fellowship conducive. You meek, you mild, Savior of the world. Make us ponies that you can ride on. Lord, thank you. Help us to use your method. You said, Lord, that you honor the man who trembles at your word, not one who is familiar with it. Help us to tremble at your word. Lord, help us not to get used to things. Give us greater visions, Lord. Pray, Lord, I will no longer be satisfied with ordinary things in New Covenant Church. Help our hearts to believe in the extraordinary in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.